Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is November 6, 2014. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just do not realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's just time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. If for some reason you don't get through to me with the phone number, do use my emergency cell phone number, which I'm going to give to you also. Or do you like this one fellow that tonight I got an email from him and, you know, phone number and his prayer request. And it makes it easy for me to get back with him because it works better than the answering machine. Anyway, the phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. You can always find updates, the breaking news, our radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is at prophecyhour.com. Now, in the right-hand column, there's several ways to listen to the program. But the one that has a little box with a meteorite hitting the ocean, and it looks like an angel standing there blowing a trumpet, that little box, it says End Time Radio Archives. That leads you to the podcast site that has all of the radio programs in it. And that place is really smartphone friendly. In fact, they even have an Apple app and an Android app on Google Play so that you can download it to your smartphone. As I realize that most people nowadays like to listen on their smartphone, which is pretty cool. In most new cars, you can, or cars with new radios, you can get into it and it'll pick up your smartphone and play whatever you're listening to right into your car radio. So consider that. And I also challenge you, as normal, to go out and share the program with your three other people. Now, remember, that blog is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And that's like a hub for all our ministries because you can find links to every part of our ministry right there. Okay, now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I just really pray that tonight you wake up some people and that you give our guests out there ears and wish to hear the truth, and that the program would go according to your will and not our will, but to your will, Father, so that it will bless you and not us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest has been on with us before. He has a ministry called the Sure Word of Prophecy Ministries. And he says this on his website. I copied it over here to read it to you. For over 20 years, I've been studying with the depth of prophecies concerning the return of Jesus. There are many different eschatological viewpoints on the Christian theologies. In fact, in fear of being labeled as sensationalist or paranoid, I choose to be reserved in sharing much of my understandings of prophecy. Really? I haven't noticed that about you, Steve. In the last couple of years, some very amazing changes have transpired in the Middle East. I hold the opinion that we're looking at the final shaping of the earth's final movements towards eternity. Amen. I can no longer be quiet about this. The Sure Word of Prophecy Ministry's mission is to help believers to understand Bible prophecy, prepare them for the return of Jesus, or Yeshua, as I would say, to make unarguable, argumentable, or arguable, presentation of unbelievers that there is a God who knows the end from the beginning. It is my desire to share the prophetic word to turn many agnostics, atheists, and scoffers, providing them with enough evidence for them to turn to a saving faith in Christ Jesus. I asked what he was going to talk about tonight, and I won't tell you what the first thing he said, because it'll like that title better, but he's calling tonight's program Going Through the Tribulation. So let's now welcome Steve Henderson. Are you there with me, Steve?
Grace and peace to you, Brother Dan. It's been a long time.
Yeah, but you've been busy, you know. I think you made some end-time preparations yourself.
Yes, there's been... There's been a lot of things going on in my life personally. Lord led me out to the wilderness out here. I think as we see the day approaching, there's a lot of rapid changes going on, even here in Oklahoma. And just looking around just a little bit kind of makes you a little paranoid. But I'm out here on 5 acres of ground out in the rural area that God has, in His great and awesome timing, put me out here. And I have some of the best soil in the world. I'm looking forward to a garden and hopefully being able to help others when this time comes that we see rapidly approaching. You know, it's one thing to see the changes going on in the world, but down here where I live, there's been some strange turn of events. I'm sure you heard about the beheading at the workplace down here in Oklahoma.
Yes.
By a new Muslim convert.
Yes, I did. And in fact, I'm sorry for laughing, but I know a couple of people it scared, you know, it brought them to a reality, you know, like shock. Oh, that can happen here. While it wasn't good, I'm glad to see that some people are paying attention.
Yes. Did you hear about the black mass in Oklahoma City that happened at the Civic Center downtown?
Yeah.
In Oklahoma City?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, give me a minute about Oklahoma. You know, folks, I don't know if most of you know about what you know about Oklahoma, but you go down to Oklahoma and there's churches everywhere. And
yeah.
Oklahoma has been one of the most God-fearing states in the union. And so I don't know, again, while I'm laughing, I guess out of disgust, Oklahoma to have these things going on like the black mass and the beheading, this shows that the devil's trying to really attack at the hearts of Christianity, is all I can phase out of it. But Oklahoma, that's not natural to Oklahoma.
It sure isn't. Just a couple of weeks ago, Brother Dan, a man urinated on a monument outside the state capitol displaying the Ten Commandments in Oklahoma City. Then he got his car, and the devil told him to run over to the display. He ran the car in the Ten Commandments monument and broke it in two. And this is the very place where, the same location, where there's a Satanist group out of New York who is putting together a statute of their own to try to erect next to the Ten Commandments. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with rebuilding the Ten Commandments monument, but they were making plans to put a satanic erection statue near the Ten Commandments at the state capitol, and the proposal was to put up a statue in response to the placement of those Ten Commandments installed in 2012. On the Capitol grounds. And it triggered a lawsuit in the state district court here in Oklahoma by four plaintiffs. And one of them was a Baptist attorney, a Baptist minister, I'm sorry. And, you know, what is amazing to me, just in this small little microcosm of society here in Oklahoma, there's a lot of odd things going on. They were going to put a statue, next to Ten Commandments called the Behemoth, or a Sabbatic goat, which, has an image with roots in the Inquisition. And now it's a widely recognized symbol of Satanism. They want to put it right next to the Ten Commandment statue right here in Oklahoma City. And by the way, one more thing, Pastor Dan, same-sex marriage now is legal in Oklahoma. Just last month, Oklahomans came out of the closet, began to marry after a surprise move by the Supreme Court. Now, because they decided they didn't want to put on the issue of the ban of the same-sex marriage before them, so it actually allowed 30 states to marrying homosexuals and lesbians, and now Oklahoma is that. And here we are right in the heart of the Bible Belt. I don't know about you, brother, but that song, North to Alaska, is becoming more and more appealing to me. How about you?
Yeah, amen. But you know, brother, we have to be where God the Father wants us to be. But I'll say this about that same-sex marriage thing. I just noticed in the news the other day here in Kansas that a judge has now ordered Kansas that our law that we have that says no same-sex marriage is unconstitutional, and that that we are to allow it now. But he's waiting the implementation until the state has a time to appeal. But, you know, we came out in election. We retained our governor and everything. But this is what happens when the Supreme Court stayed out of it. We're seeing major attacks of Christianity going on all over this country.
Absolutely, brother. And you know, there's an old proverb that I take to heart. It says, the wise foresee the evil and hide from it, but the simple pass on and are punished. Our eyes ought to be wide, wide awake right now. And I'm very thankful to be sitting down on those 5 acres, and thankful that God has led and confirmed this in several ways. So it's been a while, Brother Dan, and I deeply appreciate your invitation to be on the program.
Well, amen. I'm glad to have you on, and I'm curious to see what the Father's put on your heart, because there has been a little bit of transpired since last you've been on, but there's been a lot happened out there since then.
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you, I've been in deep prayer after you gave me the invitation to come on, and it just keeps coming back to me, the plight of the Christians that are suffering around the world, and the prophetic word, which spotlights a coming tribulation that, in my estimation, many believers are now entering into. Whether we want to hide our head in the sand and ignore it, this whole fat, high on the hog of America don't understand it very much yet, but for many, yes, they are already there, my friend. And I want to share a few stories as to why I believe it, and we'll demonstrate that, along with taking a look at what Yeshua and the prophets had to say about this subject. They foretell a time when there's going to be massive hate and killing of Christians. Whether we want to look at those scriptures or not, they're in there. And the prophecies that clearly proclaim that at the end, attacks on God's chosen will be one of the main events that brings down Yahweh's judgment and intervention in Earth's final movements. What do you think?
I agree with you most fully. And I do agree that most real believers that believe that we're in the end time are starting to enter into that tribulation. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. So I would like to take us on a little bit of journey with a little amount of time I have left here, brother, and just do some considering this evening about, number one, our calling, about falling in our Savior's footsteps. You know, as much as I would love to see Christians, including myself and family, removed from this coming trouble, as many propagate in their idea of the pre-trib rapture, it really would not serve in the main mission of our Father to remove those who he calls light and salt and co-workers with him. It just doesn't make a bit of sense to me. And, you know, there are so many sitting in the darkest prison houses of sin. What would it be for the light to be removed from it? And there's ample evidence to recognize that in this scripture that God is not willing that any should perish. So remember, just before Yeshua would give his life to save humanity, he prayed for those who would be his followers, and he clearly stated a few things. And I'd like to start with John 17, and I hope you have your Bibles, because we're going to read some scripture, and we're going to just look at it right in the face tonight, about this concept that we better be preparing to go into this tribulation. In John 17, verse 14 and 15, Yeshua prayed before his Father for his believers, and he said this, I have given them your word, and the word has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Again, he proclaimed his followers, you're light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, and no one can spread the light and be hiding under some candle. The light has to be set up on a candlestick, and it has to be infiltrate the darkness in order for it to be effectual. Amen?
Amen. Absolutely.
And so he prayed that what good would it have been for him to know what was ahead of his believers he allowed whatever happened to those believers, and he prayed. I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. And we all recognize in history, and even, you know, you read the Fox Book of Martyrs and other particular writings of history, all of the disciples, with the exception of one, wound up dying martyr's death. And yet, the historian Tertullian said that when a Christian died for his faith and the world saw how faithful they were to the cause, a seed sprung up and the gospel spread like wildfire because of the faithful Christians who even gave up their lives for their faith. And in the end, I see the same exact thing happening, and that will create a worldwide awakening and bring the message to the ends of the earth, as the scripture declares.
Well, I've got something for you. Let me sure. give you something to back that up. I had Joel Richardson on here a couple of weeks ago, and mm-hmm. you know, that brother has been ministering over in the Balkans, and over in, he's getting ready to go back to Egypt. He came back here to release his movie End Time Eyewitness, but he mm-hmm. told me that Muslims that are fleeing, there's a great revival going on. There's Muslim, now reminds you, in the Middle East, in that same area, all these Christians have died for their faith. They've been beheaded and they've been crucified and all these things, right? Okay. Well, these refugee Muslims that are flooding into Egypt are now being saved because they saw the trueness of how evil Muslim, you know, Islamist can be, and so they're turning to Christianity because of these guys being slaughtered, and so it's doing the exact thing that you said, because they witnessed the crucifixion of other of Christians, they're becoming Christians, and that's an end-time revival in Egypt going on right now. In fact, Joel's headed back over there because he wants to be part of it.
Oh, I would just love to be able to sit down with him and hear some of the stories of, you know, actually going over there. For me, like I say, I think I'm going to hang over here. I'm not so sure I want to go over that in that area right now, especially the powder keg that I see. But anyway, yes, all the believers suffered hardship, and the majority died for their witness of truth. Yeshua warned, in the world you might have tribulation. Is that what he said? No, he said in the world you will have tribulation. But every time you find that type of a statement, you also find a promise or a very encouraging word. He said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In another testament by the Apostle Paul, he prophesied that the believers must enter in the kingdom with little tribulation. Is that what he said? No, he said that you will enter in the kingdom with much tribulation. Now, I think we need to define tribulation, which we will do here in just a little bit. But how about the verse that says, a few who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Is that what it says? No, it says that all who live godly will suffer persecution. And this is one of the subjects, brother, that we really don't want to listen to or even hear about, because for most cases, for those who are not strong in their faith, it scares them flat to death, right? But who are we to believe that we will escape the same as our brethren who went before us? And for what reason? You know, there are many stories in the Bible that reveal that the people, Yahweh, went through great testing. And when the faithful stood up and everyone fell down, Yahweh would show himself, confirm his presence, and intervene on the faithful's behalf. For example, Daniel, when the state decree went out not to pray, he remained faithful and prayed even in the face of a death sentence. He knew he would be thrown to lions, and when he remained faithful, the Almighty shut up the lion's mouth, and no harm came to him. Hallelujah. Yahweh did not keep Daniel from the lion's den, but he saved him in it. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to the image when the band played, they stood up and were thrown into the fire that was heated up seven times hotter than normal. And the King of Kings did not keep them from the fire, but they looked down there and they saw a fourth in the fire. And when they came out, they came out better than even walking through a smoking restaurant. They just burned out their restraints, and not a hair on their head was singed. You know, I'm wondering who besides the king that day was converted when they witnessed something like that. These faithful witnesses served Yahweh's ultimate plan to show the kings entrenched in idolatry that there was indeed one who had control over the elements. And that's why he's always done it, and he will always do it that way. And there are no ands, ifs, and buts about it. Historians recognize and speak of the gospel spreading like wildfire as the faithful witnesses stayed strong even to their deaths. And I'm concerned, my friend, about this secret rapture thing that is being taught. Please, don't think I'm a hard nose, but I just believe it's time to give the trumpet a certain sound and then take a good, hard, honest look at what is going on around us with our persecuted Christian brothers and sisters. And it is happening all over the place. And it, unfortunately, fortunately, it hasn't come to this country yet, but there are all kinds of indicators that it's heading this way by some of the threats we hear from ISIS and others that America is going to be targeted. And what would happen? And there are lone rangers out here that are now creating terrorist acts. But what if there are cell groups here in this country who are just waiting for the command? Iran says they're here, and they say that all they're waiting for is just a command from us to unleash their whatever it is they want to unleash. And so the Bible declares that God has always had those who have been faithful through tribulation. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 33 through 40, says this: "There are those who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." You know, there are some through the time of testing get stronger, and they quenched the violence of fire, and they escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness, they were made strong, and it became valiant, even stronger. They turned to flight the armies of aliens. So in tribulation and trial, there are those who become stronger when they are faced with adversity. But then there are still others who had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute.
Okay, I'm going to have to interrupt. Hey, we're almost at break. We're 30 seconds from break time. Why don't you give your website and we'll go to break?
Absolutely. On the website, if you want to read about some of the things going on with the Christian brethren around the world, I try to keep those informed. www.surewordprophecy.org is my website.
Surewordofprophecy.org, and folks, you can find that any place that you're listening to this. So we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be dependent on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors, the mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. You see, people that we've helped for the last 15 years, a lot of them, you know, they just got minimum wage jobs. They came out of the street and everything. We have lots of praise reports. A lot of them are managers and things at stores, at places like Home Depot and Dillon's and things like that. But a lot of them are just living, barely making it, you know. And so they still come back looking for food, clothing, prayers, Bibles, you name it, miracle prayers. Come back for that a lot. But you know what they're going to be coming back for this month? You know, why I love all the Feast of the Lord. This month it is Thanksgiving. Yeah, amen. And Thanksgiving was patterned after the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's a great holiday that everybody can get around. And so it's our 15th, Thanksgiving with the homeless and poor. Now, we don't just go over and serve them a meal and then kick them out the door all day and all night thing. It's like family. It's like, you know, how with most people and how it was with us until we started doing it at the mission church, we every year, you know, at Thanksgiving, we'd either go to my wife's mother's or in years past, well, my mom, dad, go to her house or something, you know, a lot of family, a lot of food, you know, recreation, football, whatever. And we had a great family time, and people, you know, shared things, and they forgot about their troubles. Well, we believe that the poor needed that same atmosphere, and so we do that at the Wichita Mission Church. But we can't do it without you because, you know, we minister to the poorest of the poor, and so they can't do what, you know, we need to get done. And we don't sell anything here at Messiah's Branch. I'm not hawking a book or anything like that. I do need to write a book, but I have several in my head but haven't had the time. Point is, folks, is people like you out there that support us for over 15 years. So pray about it. We could really, really use your help for Thanksgiving, but we could use your help at any time because, like I say, it's you folks that support us with donations that, you know, keep this program on the air, that keeps the people fed and the people clothed and so on and so forth. So please pray about it. It's also wintertime now. We need all the wintertime things like over-the-counter medications, painkillers, cough syrups, and all those things. And, of course, prayers go out with those things, but those are still real needs. You know, while Yeshua does heal people, you know, not everybody, you don't get healed of every ailment in the world. You still have colds. You still experience flu. Tell me what pastor out there that hasn't experienced flu in their life, and, well, we won't talk about that. So, point being is everybody gets sick sometime, and so pray about supporting these things. Really, we people come in, they just ask us for help, and we help them. So please, pray about it. We really could use your support tonight, if you can, by electronic means, or you can send us a check or money order, and you can find all the information on how to support us at prophecyhour.com. I'll be putting something special up there about Thanksgiving because I know local people. I know I got a lot of local people nowadays listen to me in Wichita. So if you want to get a hold of me and I'll put you in touch with my wife and you want to help cook turkeys and maybe debone them and bring them down or maybe bring down some pies, you know, that's another good way you can help. Without giving cash, you can give labor. So pray about it. Anyway, you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. Or call me at 620-878-4682 or 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. And now we're back talking with Steve Henderson, talking about going through the tribulation and not flying out, I guess. Are you there with me, Steve?
I'm here, and I'm still walking toward it. I'm telling you, brother, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm not running from it. You know, that armor makes no provision for the backside, so whatever we are facing ahead, we've got to face with the armor on. Oh, well, yeah. I need to ask you one thing before I get started here. Did you hear about the man who was arrested for giving out food at a street ministry? Did you hear about that?
Actually, that was an older pastor. He was 90 years old.
A 90-year-old pastor. He arrested him.
They can arrest me anytime if they want. You know, we just do what, you know, here, let me tell you a real brief story. You know, in the city of Wichita, there's lots of guidelines for, you know, having, whether it's a kitchen in a certain way or having a certain amount of people here and space there and everything. But those rules are all set forth for corporations. And, you know, most churches are a 501(c) corporation. Well, when, you know, I've asked them before, I said, well, does that apply, those rules apply to a church? And they said, you mean a 501(c)? I said, no, a church. And they always say, well, I have to get back with you, Pastor, because there's nothing written, there's no laws that are written, you know what I'm saying, to a church. Church has more latitude because it's just that. It's a church. But when you become a corporation, you fall under corporate rules, and those are the things that are written in the law. And so that's just something to know. And, yeah, of course, you know, not only are we, somebody can get a donation from, you know, we send a thank you note. We don't send a receipt. We send a thank you note. A lot of people use it in their taxes if they choose to. But that's the way it is, and we've been going, the Mission Church has been going for 15 years.
Well, good for you, brother. You keep up the good work. You might get arrested one day, but you keep the works to the end, and you're going to get a crown of life, eh?
Yeah.
I was in shock when I heard about this 90-year-old pastor who they told him to drop his plate like it would tell him to drop a gun, you know?
Yeah.
and then arrested the guy. Here in this country, don't think it's not coming here. There are places here that you if you speak out against, back down in Houston, they just recently were saying that they wanted to monitor all the pastors down there and what they were speaking about. I think we're it's heading our way, and I don't think we really recognize it because we don't have our eyes open.
Let me throw something into the pastors in Houston. And, you know, they finally backed off of that, but I looked into the legality of it and the trap that the technically, legally, even though that could have been a real court battle because those pastors are 501(c) pastors. their corporations. And there's certain corporate rules that they agree to go with. One is not to use political speech. So they may very well have been able to legally do that to them for being a corporation. So pastors out there, you need to really think about that. You don't need a 501(c) to be, if it's because of taxes and donations and all, you don't need it for all that. You just have to be a church and function as a church. Back to you.
Amen. Amen, brother. Well, it's pretty evident that the limelight and the microscope is being put on Christians around the world. And hopefully we can prepare ourselves mentally and spiritually for this coming surge against Christianity. And it's already here in a lot of the world. We just don't recognize it because it's not here a whole lot. But it is coming to the shores of America. I believe it with all of my heart. And Yeshua said it was going to become the whole world. And so that includes the United States of America, by the way. He made a statement as he began to speak about the signs of his coming. And in the heart of him elaborating about the days of Noah and how it would be, that would be compared to those days, and the days of Lot, which we can sure see going on around the world here. He makes a statement that I think would be well for us to deeply consider. It's found in Luke 17, verse 33 through 37, and please allow me to read that. Yeshua declares, "Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it." Now, in this particular statement, there's a lot, it's a mouthful, and we could go on for several minutes about this one statement, but there's an attitude here. And I think that at some point in time, it's very obvious that we're going to be in a place where we're going to have to get our faith tested. And there may be some of us, and as I will share with you here in a minute, that are going to go through a tremendous fire. And I think it's high time for us to recognize that we're going to go in it, and we're not going to be removed from it. It almost makes me mad to hear these preachers preach, "Oh, brother, don't worry about it. We're not going to be here, and the righteous be gone, and the wicked be left here to battle one another." But what would be the sense? But according to the scripture, in the same context, he says this: "I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. One will be taken, and the other left. Two will be grinding together, the one will be taken, and the other left. Two will be in the field, the one will be taken, and the other left. And he answered and said to him, 'Where, Lord?' And he said to them, 'Wherever the body is, there the eagles," or the flesh-eating birds, or vultures, "will be gathered together." Yes, yeah, so at the end, there will be two different groups here. One's going to be taken, and the other left. But the one that's taken here that I find is where the body's going to be and the vultures are going to be gathered together. The one that's taken here is not the righteous, but it's to the ones that are gathered together for judgment. And it's very, very clear that at the end there will be a separating, and the wheat and tares will grow together until the harvest. The harvest is the end of the age, and they will both look the same until the great testing comes. And then it will be evident and who in fact are the wheat and who in fact are the tares. And there will be some who will fall away from the faith in the hour of great testing, and those who remain faithful to their Elohim. Paul also declares that at this time, during before the coming of the Lord, there will be a great mass exodus out of Christianity. There will be a great, what he referred to as a falling away first, that the man of sin, the son of perdition, will be revealed. And by the way, that day is not going to come until that Antichrist, that son of perdition, who opposes and exalts itself above God, sent in the temple, showing himself to be God. So that day is not going to come. Yet a lot of the rapture propagators also say that the Christians will be gone before the ministry is revealed. I don't understand. Yeshua also declared that there will be those who would have to persevere, and in that time of perseverance, he gives a promise. He declared to the church, one of the churches in Asia, he said, "Because you kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world, to test those, please listen, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. You know, throughout the scriptures, we find people, especially in the end time people, that are marked with the attribute of perseverance or patience. And all of the believers that went before us, all of them stood up in a time of great testing, and a lot of them gave up their lives for their faith. And you're going to find in the book of Revelation a people who are marked with perseverance, and they're going to have to persevere something. They're going to have to get ready to learn how to have patience in extreme hour of trial. You find this on three different occasions in Revelation, a couple marked by a certain fruit, and I'd like to share just a couple of scriptures there, Pastor Dan, if you will, to show these particular people in scripture in Revelation, and they're identified as saints. A lot of people say, well, after Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, we don't see the church. Well, I don't know what you call these people, but whether you want to call them church or whatever, they are called saints. And the first verse I want to share is in Revelation 14 and verse 12, and it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Now notice that these saints are not marked by the attribute of love or kindness or joy, those type of fruits, but they are marked by the attribute of patience. Go back one chapter, and by the way, this is in the heart of the three angels' messages of Revelation chapter 14, right exactly after the warning, the most dreadful warning in the Bible about receiving the mark of the beast. Here you find a statement about the patience of the saints. So evidently, there are going to be saints at this time who are commandment keepers and have faith in Jesus. And then you go back one chapter, most commonly known as the Mark of the Beast chapter in Revelation 13, and you'll find this statement in Revelation 13, 9 through 10. And please let me read that. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. And by the way, when you see that statement in Scripture, it means please pay close attention to what's going to follow after, either before it's been said or after it's been said. But here's what it says. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Now, this is at the time when the beast power is reigning over the whole earth, and he's making war with the saints, Revelation 13, verse 5, by the way. And power is given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now, boy, it's so imperative that we understand what is being said here. But we just kind of like just hide our head in the sand and really don't want to really take a look at what the scriptures are saying. But I want to bring out before the world that there is going to be a persecution against God's people. Yes, according to these scriptures, the saints are going to be marked with the attribute of patience. That means we're going to have to endure something. That's why when he talked about the saints being killed and hated, he said, he who endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. See, Christianity is not a sprint, but it's a marathon, and during this time, there is going to be a great testing. And yet, the promise, I will keep you from an hour, not that he'll lead us from it, but that he will put us in it and keep us in the middle of that trial. Yes, according to these pictures, if you lead into captivity, you will go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. This is right in the heart of the Mark of the Beast chapter. And then it concludes with this. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So here again in Revelation we find the saints and they're admonished, hey, don't react harshly here. You might have to stand up for your faith. It says thou shalt not kill. And if you kill, you're going to have to be killed with a sword yourself. If you lead into captivity, you're going to go into captivity. According to these, there's a picture of those who will even face death and not recant their trust in the Almighty. There's one verse I'd like to share with you in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 that also alludes to the fact and clearly states that there are going to be people in the Mark of the Beast time that are not going to succumb to the system that's being set up. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Hallelujah. You find the standing of the strong and those committed to the Almighty, who stood up against the mark of the beast and were beheaded for their witness. Now, how can you be removed at the time of the mark of the beast? Who are these people that are being beheaded, who had their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast in his image? A lot of them say, well, we're going to be gone before that happens, and that's just going to be for the wicked. Well, I see such a different story here. And in throughout the scriptures, you find Yeshua giving not only warnings against having to suffer, but then he gives a promise to his faithful also. Remember the church in Smyrna, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. He gives a promise to those in Smyrna at the time. He said, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you may have tribulation 10 days. But then he concludes, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Nowhere in the scriptures do I find that he desires anyone to be raptured during a time that the believer could be used as a witness to turn many. And very clearly, that when the rapture comes, and the word rapture, of course, as we all know, is not in Scripture. The word caught up is happening at the same time that the dead are being raised. So, very clearly, when the catching away happens, it's going to happen at the last day during the blowing of the last trumpet. So, how do you define Great Tribulation? In a minute, I'm going to share a couple of... How many minutes do I have, brother?
You got about 4.5 minutes.
Okay, I want to share a couple of stories. I just got an email from a pastor from Pakistan. I'm in contact with him over there. He's got a ministry over there, and he was sharing with me a story. I just want to highlight a couple of things that are going on as we close here. Then he talked about a couple that he was familiar with, who had been subjected to slavery over there because they were Christians, and they had 3 children, and they were under a great debt, so they put him in a brick kiln. And he tells about this story on the third night of November. This was just a few days ago. The Muslim headship plotted a wrong case against this couple and started telling the nearby villages that they had caught a Christian couple who had burnt a few pages of the Quran. He declares, the next morning, the angry mob and clergy got together. They had rods of iron, sticks, firearms, and weapons to kill the innocent and unarmed couple. The mob beat the couple very badly. They broke their legs and arms and hit their sensitive parts of the body, and then they threw them in the heavy fire of the brick kiln, where they were burnt alive while they were crying for help for anyone, and kept shouting that they had done nothing wrong. They had done nothing wrong, but they were accused of blasphemy, but they were totally innocent. The police was also present at the time, and they did not try to survive them. I'm reading from him. He's got broken English, so hopefully you can bear with me. They did not help them. They did not even call the other police to stop the mob, and they did not help the poor couple. Shema, which was a woman, was 4 months pregnant, and a total of 3 lives were taken because they remained faithful to Christianity. They had 3 small children who are living in great fear, harassment, and their lives are also in danger. These children need protection and justice. Please pray for these children and the persecuted family who can never live in their house again. Please pray for all the Christians of Pakistan and all over the world who are also subjected to persecution. This is just a recent email I got from a brother out of Pakistan. Let me give you another example. And tell me, that these people over there are not going through great tribulation. And what kind of greater tribulation can you go through than being burned alive in a brick kiln? And then leaving three kids behind to fend for themselves. Here's an article. We need your head. Muslim persecution of Christians. This is out of Gatestone Institute. Just yesterday I pulled this off in that. And it said that one convert, known as Abakar, and his wife reportedly held each other under their bed in their refugee camp as gunmen suspected to be from the Islamic terrorist organization Al-Shabaab pounded on their door. They ordered a man to come out and called him an infidel in both Arabic and Somali languages, saying, "We need your head." When the apostate refused, they opened fire through the spaces of the poles of the couple's hut, striking their legs. Then they heard the attackers say, "We have killed the infidels," as they shot into the air while leaving. The Christian couple was found 2 days later lying in their own pool of blood. You know, I could go on for another until midnight, brother, with stories that I am reading and paying attention to about our Christian brothers and sisters around the world that are absolutely going through tremendous terror. They are going through great tribulation. We have entered the time of great tribulation, not here yet, but around the world. You ask these people, and you try to preach to those people over there, "Oh, brother, don't worry about it. God's going to rapture you out of here before trouble starts." They would laugh you out of their congregations. Here in Nigeria, how much time do I have?
Actually, we're out of time.
Okay.
Well, my friend, you need to close up now. You need to say goodbye and all that.
Okay. Let me read scripture close. "And after these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, tongues, and peoples, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all of the angels stood around the throne and the elders and four creatures saying, 'Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, and praise be to our God forever.' And one of the elders answered and said, 'Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?' And I said to them, 'Sir, you know.' He said to me, 'These are the ones who come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" Friends, no one is going to be able to come out of great tribulation unless they go into it. But one day, yeah, one day the Lamb will lead them to fountains of living waters and will be their God, and we will be their people. Stand strong in the Lord and the power of His might, my friends.
Well, amen. Thanks for being on with me, Steve. Give your website again real quick, and I'm going to have to say goodbye to you.
The website, surewordprophecy.org. If you want to keep caught up with the things that are going around the world, check out the prophetic news. I'll keep you posted. May the Lord bless you, brother. I appreciate your invitation.
All right. Well, you be blessed, brother. Going to let you go. Well, folks, as you can see from his testimony, you know, that Christians are in tribulation around the world. We know that. We've been talking about it on this program. But the problem is here in the West, it's going to take something major to shake the people, because there is a great tribulation going on around the world. If you can't count all the slaughter of the Christians worldwide, every place but the West, then I don't know what to tell you. And here in America, it's coming. It's coming. It came through the gay marriage thing, and it's coming on, and it's coming on. And don't forget, like it was pointed out to me by somebody else, at Waco, Texas, remember, 80 Christians were burned and shot to death. Anyway, we got to go. We must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is your Son. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for your repented sins and rose 3 days and three nights after being in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way of the Father. What I meant is He is your Father, and you are His Son. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, His Father blesses and keeps you, His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else. Till next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.